We thank you for joining Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Back in the studio again with Miss Tara and Tanya, Janelle, and myself, Sandy. And we are talking about when Peter walked on water in Matthew 14, 22-36. Why do we need to get rid of our fear? Jesus said to Peter, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid."
As I was praying through and just asking the questions and all, I know for myself, many times in my life, I have been frozen because of fear. Afraid to move forward, afraid to move backward, afraid to even go sideways. Like, it's amazing. Fear can freeze us. It makes us frozen, and we can't do what we're called to do. We won't obey. And at the same time, we're just stuck. And it makes me think of like a stagnant pond. You know, if a pond does not have movement, life There's can't no grow. Mm-hmm. But if it has the opportunity for movement, then life can grow in it. And fear makes us stagnant. And so here they are afraid. They have seen Jesus feed thousands with just a few fishes and loaves. They have seen the miraculous things that he is doing, and yet they thought he was a ghost. And you have to understand, between 3 and 6 in the morning, they were tired. The storm, when it hit, was a surprise. It was not something that you know, right? They're just envision the nice placid lake, okay, and the lull and the roll of the water. If you could see me, I'm kind of swaying gently, and then all of a sudden at 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., an incredible storm hits this region, and it is tossing them back and forth. The water is starting to slush in, and so they're awakened in the middle of their REM, so they don't have their good sleep, and they're starting to row because they know they need to get to shore because you don't want to get electrocuted. They don't want to be capsized. I mean, lots of things could happen. And as they're in the middle of trying to deal with their storm, and you can see and feel their muscles flexing. I love the paintings that they have of the scene, and it shows the ripples of their muscles as they're trying to deal with the storm and the water splashing them. And they look up, and there is a man walking on water. Their immediate reaction, ghost! You know, it's like, And so they're afraid. And Jesus's words is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And I thought, God, what happens to me that causes fear to come up? And so part of the processing, I wrote down some things and I saw some things, so I just wanted to share those. The first thing I want us to focus in on, and this one came to me immediately because our Dr. Barnes, the president of Grace University, recently at a chapel, he said, remember, things are not always what they seem. And so that phrase is in my mind, and I'm reading this passage and I'm like, things are not what they seem. They thought it was a ghost, but it was Jesus. It was not what they thought. And so oftentimes in the circumstances when fear hits me, it's not what I think. It's not what it seems. And especially in Christ, because nothing is impossible for God. And so I have to remind myself, things are not what they seem. Have you guys ever been caught by a moment where something wasn't what it seemed? Yeah.
You know, when you're asked to do something, like I just recently was asked to do something in January, and of course, immediately mine was no, because fear was there. Like, you know, all those little doubts came in and all that, you know, why me or that kind of stuff. But God is so good. After I had said no, I was praying, and this whole week he was showing me everything on prayer, because this is dealing with prayer. Every time I opened up a book, a devotional, it was about prayer. And I thought, okay, I'm going to step out of the boat and say yes, and I did. And I've been more peaceful about it since then. But boy, I had that fear, like, I don't think so, you know.
Right. Yeah. When things are not what they seem, it just changes, you know, when you don't allow fear to hit you. And I, what has caught me, I think, every time is that I'm always surprised afterwards. I'm like, oh, well, why was I worried about that?
Yeah.
What was the big deal?
I'm waiting for that part.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how many times I've had that. This is a funny one, okay? When I first had Michaela, and I had then Grant, and it was, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and it's time for Michaela to go to school. I can remember laying in bed at night, almost frozen in the fear of, how am I going to get her up, get her dressed, a lunch prepared, her school stuff, get Grant, the little 2.5-year-old, gathered up, loaded up, and driven to school and back. I mean, what will all honestly total take me a total of 20 minutes. But at that time in my life, that was intense for me.
Yeah.
And I spent significant time the weeks before kindergarten worrying about this process.
Yeah.
Even though I did it every single Sunday morning,
yeah,
you know, for church, and I did it on Tuesdays and Thursdays for us to go to church for preschool for the kids, something about 5 days a week. And then after the first day of school, and even though Michaela cried all the way there and cried in the drop-off, after I did it, I went, what was the big deal about that?
Right.
Why was I so frozen on that?
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not a person who is frozen by fear that often. That's not my motive operation. But that was something that really doubled me up. And I know that sounds crazy. And I know there's somebody out there that probably they had the same thing happen to them. It's just things are not always what they seem.
Well, we let our minds get away with it, you know, and they just, pretty soon those thoughts are coming in and, you know, you're allowing
it's
them in.
Spiral out
they,
of control.
They do.
It is interesting that, like, fear, I don't know, it doesn't, like, I never think about fear as something that I really struggle with because I'm a go-getter, I like doing things, I like being in control. So, like, I, you know, there's something that needs done, I'm going to do it. It's not like, oh, I'm timid and I don't know, I might not be able to do it. I'm like, okay, let's do it, let's get it done. But my fear comes in when I don't have that control.
Mm-hmm.
And when God is like, oh, you think you're in control? You're so cute, honey. I'm going to take it away from you, and then we'll see how you hold up.
You're exactly right.
There's been so many times where God will, you know, I'll be like, okay, God, these are my options. And he's like, okay, I'm not going to choose any of those options. Now what are you going to do? And I'm like, no, you have to tell me what to do now. And he like, the biggest thing for me to deal with, the opposite of fear for me, is trust. And that's difficult.
For sure.
Yeah, and that'll be our next radio show.
Okay.
That's awesome. You're such a smart kumquat. The other thing I have found is that the problem is never as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times that whatever it is you think, oh, this is going to be a huge obstacle, it's never as bad as I thought. The other thing that came to my mind was that the problem may be real, but God is still in control.
Yeah.
Right.
He is the one that is in control, even in the sifting of a trial, like with Job.
Yes,
and
I thought of Job.
Yeah, and so not to forget the sovereignty of God. And I think I remember my young 20s when I first heard that word sovereignty, because I wasn't raised in the church, so all of those things were so new to me. And when I heard that God was sovereign, I'm like, what in the world does that, that's a big word.
Right.
What does that mean? And then somebody said, it means God's in control. I'm like, in control of what? You know, and they're like, of everything. And I'm like, wow, I like that word, sovereign. And I can remember saying the word over and over because I didn't want to forget that he is in control, because it was new for me. I had never had anybody tell me the sovereignty of God is in the circumstances.
Right.
And it was profound.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wanted us to think about is that when we have fear, that it is an opportunity for our faith to grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is an opportunity for faith to just rise up. And next show, we will actually cover that whole concept of faith. And so I don't want to focus too much there. I'll just hold off on that one until that one, because I have probably what would be more than what we could do in one show on that concept. And then when fear hits me, God reminded me that it means that I'm not in the trust of Christ, that I'm not putting into practice what I know. I'm not putting in practice into his truth. And so when I am confronted with the fear, I need to ask, how can I engage Christ now into this circumstance? And so establishing that. And then knowing that Jesus does not invite us to do something that he does not provide a way. So when Peter asked something that for most of us we would say is quite foolhardy, let me come and walk on the water to you. I mean, I think that's pretty bold.
It is. Right? He is bold.
Mm-hmm. And have you had something that you've wanted to ask God that is your water walking? And you think, oh, I'm not going to ask that because who am I to ask that? But Peter asked. He's like, I've seen what he can do. And if my Lord is standing on the water, I'm going to go join my Lord on the water. And he knew of the miraculous. He'd been told the miraculous could happen in him and that he just needed to trust. And so he's like, Lord, if it's you, let me come. And Janelle said it in the last show. It's amazing. Jesus just says, come. And so what it hit me so hard. I'm like, seriously, there's nothing that he has not called me to that he will not provide the way for. And so he didn't say no to Peter to walking on water because he was looking to be with Jesus. He said, come. And so starting that new ministry or taking that new job or changing your degree, you know, I mean, these are things that are, for many people, a walking on water moment. Is this the person I'm to marry? Or is it the person I'm to date? Or, you know, just that water walking moment and knowing that if I'm called to it, he will make me able as long as my eyes remain on him. That's the key. And
I remember, do we have time for this? Just starting as the discipleship counselor for
lots of time
at Open Door Mission for the woman in the New Life Recovery Program. I remember up until about the day of my first day, I was great. I was excited. I couldn't wait. I was like, Lord, I love that you've given me a love for them that is beyond me. I'm so excited for this, and I love discipling. And then the day of the fear and the anxiety. And all of a sudden, I took my eyes off the Lord. Just like
you looked at the wind.
And looked at, I went inward. I was like, oh, Lord, what if I don't connect with them? What if I can't relate to them? What if they're not, don't feel they can open up and share and grow and dialogue and process with me? Yeah. So I remember that. And I mean, what could I do? I have nothing. I have nothing, Lord. I have nothing. But I know you've called me to this. And so I'm begging you and asking you to give me what I need. And he did in the moment and continues to. And so it just reminded me of that as you were sharing what you did about starting a new ministry. And I remember, I think I had moments of that with Grace as well, with these girls that I'm like, oh, Lord, what can I teach them? They're so knowledgeable in you, and they love you, and they've been raised in the church, and I'm a soccer coach. What am I going to bring to the table? But he provided in interesting ways with that as well. And it's been fun because they've taught me much in both, actually, ministries at Grace with the women's soccer team and at the Open Door Mission. I've learned and grown more than I ever thought I ever would.
And that's because you stepped out of the boat.
Sure, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. It's that first step.
In faith, and so he's provided it. But it's neat to, discipleship is such, it's my heart. And so to see when people catch it and fall in love with the Lord, that just, oh my gosh, the joy from that is like, it's like when that happens with your kids, you just are so excited. That's the exact excitement I have with the women's soccer team at Grace and Open Door Mission ladies too.
I'm so there with you.
I know.
Do you know what really hit me hard with my transition at Grace is the first few months it was like a honeymoon. You know, everything was just the perfection. You know, there was no correction. and it's all perfection you know, and deflection. It was their redemption story and just God perfecting me and helping their redemption story. But then I had one day where I had a really hard circumstance and I'm like knocked to my knees and I'm like, what am I doing? God, I am a kindergartner trying to be on a college campus and helping in big stuff. And he was sufficient. He was in control. I had to let go of seeing the wind. And I have found the greatest thing I can pray. And Andre, if you're listening, because I know you've been listening to the podcast, and this is one of the things that blew your mind and that you've tried to practice, he's one of my little friends that's, I don't know, Andre, you're probably 13 or 14 now, is that when I wake up in the morning, God, I bow. There's nothing I can do today.
Without you.
Completely. I bow. Before my feet hit the ground, before I even attempt to say anything, I just bow. I bow down because otherwise I will freeze in fear. I will freeze in doubt. I will freeze in insecurity and power of putting the power in people. I have a bad habit of doing that. So all these things that could hinder my ability to serve, it's just God, I bow. I bow down. And that keeps me from having that happen. And then which would lead to the next one is that it allows us the miraculous is possible in Jesus. That if we allow ourselves to stay in fear, we're actually robbing ourselves of the miraculous. So I was one day having a conversation with this woman, and it was actually in Ohio. We were walking, and I was discipling her. And she's like, well, I'm afraid that if I, in this circumstance, marry this man, then then I'm going to stop receiving this amount of money towards my disability because they'll stop it because I'm married. And I looked at her and I said, yes, that will happen, but you are robbing God of doing the miraculous in your behalf because you're trying to control what happens. What greater gift will he give you if you release it and you do that which is holy and you marry him? Because he's the man you're with, and allow God to show you how he can provide. And in faith, she took that leap, and she did it. And God has so blessed this couple. So blessed them. Because what happens is that when we allow ourselves to stay in fear, we rob ourselves of the miraculous of what God can do in us. And then the last is that we have to put our fear away because it moves us beyond the other little fears. We deal with the big one. It helps us with the little ones. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. You need to come back and listen next week because we're going to deal with the faith, the difference between little faith and little faith. You're going to have to come back and hear the difference. God bless.